So they had a pretty good year, and the Republicans at the top of the ballot, where most of the statewide executive officials were on the ballot, still won. They had a red sweep, but the numbers were really, really tight. With the exception of Governor Greg Abbott, everybody won by 5 percentage points or less. And this is in a state where the normal Republican has been beating the normal Democrat in statewide elections by 12 to 18 points for years and years. So they came out of 18 a little bit chastened. The Republicans were a little bit scared, maybe overscared. The Democrats were a little bit overhopeful. And they entered the 2019 legislative session in that mood. They started it off with this sort of picturesque press conference at the governor's mansion, you know, green grass, sunny day. The governor, the lieutenant governor, and the speaker came out with Pancake, the golden retriever, the governor's dog, sat down at the table and said, we're going to have, always with the food metaphors at points like this, we're going to have a bread and butter meat and potatoes session, which was a way of saying we're not going to do all that stuff that you were so mad about back in 2017. We're going to do school finance. We're going to do property taxes. We're going to talk about recovery from Hurricane Harvey. We're going to do serious stuff, and then we're going to get out of here. And they had a session where they pretty much did that. They came out and did almost a bookend version of that news conference at the end of the session, again on the lawn, again with Pancake the dog, and said, we did property taxes, we did school finance, we did the Hurricane Harvey stuff, and that's what they thought they were going to campaign on as they went into this year. And a couple of weeks after that meeting, after that news conference, House Speaker Dennis Bondin had a meeting with a political activist that you might have read something about, where he met with somebody who had been a political foe during the session. Michael Quinn Sullivan at Empower Texans is a conservative, kind of a libertarian organization, and he's a provocateur. He's really good at kind of poking the ant hole. And during the session, his complaints about these conservatives in the legislature were that they took on school finance, and instead of cutting spending, they increased it, and they took on property taxes, and instead of cutting property taxes, they tried to limit future growth of property taxes. He thought they were insufficiently conservative, and he was really loud about it. Nevertheless, Dennis Bondin agreed to meet with him, and in that meeting, kind of went off the rails and talked for about an hour. He and Dustin Burroughs and Michael Quinn Sullivan talked for about an hour, and it turned out that Bonin had, after telling the members of the House that he didn't want anyone in the House campaigning against anyone in the House, no incumbents should campaign against incumbents of either party, he's caught on tape in this meeting with Michael Quinn Sullivan saying, you know, if you will help me eliminate 10 of my weakest Republican members and replace them presumably with stronger Republicans, I'll give your organization press passes in the next legislative session. So here he is cutting a deal. And whatever you think about that, the members of the House didn't like it very much. This dribbled out over months. Initially, Michael Quinn Sullivan said, Bonin told me this in a meeting. Bonin said, basically, no, I didn't. Over a period of time, Michael Quinn Sullivan said, oh, but I have a tape of the meeting. So this took a long time, which, you know, was probably not great for anybody concerned, but made all the journalists happy. We had a pretty good summer, and we thought it was going to be a nice, slow summer, and it turned out to be a hopping summer. And Dennis Bonin ended the whole thing, you know, at the end of all of this, after everybody's heard the tape and seen what happened, by saying, you know, I won't run for re-election. So we're going to enter this year with a speaker still in office who's not going to be in office in 2021, and with an interesting political landscape. From here, I can't tell you what the next election is going to be about. Usually sometime in late September or early October, you get the feel for what an election's going to be at. This, you know, one may be about economics. One may be about straight politics. It might be about foreign affairs. You never know exactly what it's going to be. But from this vantage point, I would say it's probably in some way or another going to be a referendum on Donald Trump. So we do a lot of polling at the Tribune, and one of the questions that we ask is what we call the reelect question. We just ask, with four possible answers, are you going to vote for Donald Trump in 2020? positively, maybe, maybe not, positively not. And when you total those up, you get 50-50, which isn't great for a Republican incumbent in a Republican state. You know, raise your eyebrows a little bit. So the next question we ask, you know, and this is kind of, I compare this to going into Luby's and trying to figure out what you're going to order on the cafeteria line. You walk up, and in this case, the president is fish, all right? And you walk up and you say, you know, what have you got? And they say, we've got this fish over here. And you say, huh, what else have you got? Well, we have this chicken and we have this pork. And people say, I guess I'll have the fish after all. What happens on the Trump reelect question is you say, would you elect Donald Trump? 50% say yes, 50% say no. What about Donald Trump versus, and then you start plugging names in, Biden or Warren or Sanders or Buttigieg or Klobuchar or whoever you plug in. At the time we did the poll, it was also Castro and O'Rourke. No matter which Democrat we plugged in, the president won. So...